Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, guys. It's Jess and Andrew, and we're just giving you a little warning before the show starts.
I'm going to be swearing quite a bit. If you got kids or anything like that, maybe don't let them listen to me. I'm a bad influence.
Yeah, if you're driving around in the car or something, just maybe throw on some headphones or maybe save this episode for another time.
Thank you. Enjoy the show, fellas.
Let's get to it. Hello, I'm Jess.
And I'm Andrew.
And welcome to Musicals with Cheese, a podcast where I try to get Andrew to like musical theater. Andrew, what are we covering today?
So we're just going to watch the Muppets. We're watching the original Muppet movie.
Wow.
It's going to be great.
I feel like this has never been on stage before. How does this fit our oeuvre?
It doesn't at all. Not even a little bit. But we're going to talk about it anyways.
For spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains, majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God.
Jess has seen every Muppet movie, apparently in existence.
This was something I did not know until I actually looked at the list of Muppet movies.
Yeah, apparently he's seen every Muppet movie, the television movies, and the direct-to-video releases.
It's not like I was a huge Muppet fan. This is just stuff I've accumulated over my 20-plus years of life.
Yeah, so he's actually more knowledgeable on this subject than I am, and I'm the one that wanted to talk about this movie.
It's strange. I like, don't have any, like, deep-seated love for the Muppets. I just know an obscene amount about them.
All right, give us one Muppet fact before we start.
Jim Henson died because he's a Christian Scientist and refused to go to a doctor.
Oops!
Christian Science is bullshit, guys.
I think this oddly ties into our previous episode.
But yeah, basically he had something relatively curable, then he refused to go to a doctor because Jesus would save him, and then he died.
Have you guys ever noticed that Jesus is actually not a doctor?
Yeah, you know, like, it's the old saying, like, a guy is drowning and he said, Jesus will save me, to a boat that was passing by. Then he gets up to heaven and he said, why didn't you save me, Jesus? And he's like, I send you a boat, you idiot.
Oh my god,
I gave you doctors, you moron. All right, so the Muppet movie is a 1979 musical road comedy film and the first theatrical film starring the Muppets. It was directed by James Frawley and produced by Jim Henson. The film's screenplay was conceived by the Muppet Show writers Jerry Joel and Jack Burns. So this was the first Muppet movie, which is strange. Like, it still feels very much TV with, like, very slight adjustments upward.
Jess, Kermit rides a bike.
And he plays banjo.
This is huge stuff, Jess, okay? Puppets can't do that, because I don't know if you knew this. Puppets actually don't have legs.
What?
Yeah, they don't. No legs.
Now Audrey 2 makes sense.
Yeah.
You know what? After seeing Audrey 2 and all that, this as incredible as this stuff probably was at the time, seeing Kermit ride a bicycle, believe it or not, isn't that interesting to watch.
I think it's still charming, though.
Oh, this film is full of charm. Like, I'm not saying this film is charmless or anything like that.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's my favorite Muppet movie, either.
Well, I'm sure you have a lot to choose from, so...
So the plot of the Muppet movie is it basically depicts Kermit the Frog as he embarks on a cross-country trip to Hollywood, California. Along the way, he encounters several of the Muppets who all share the same ambition of finding success in professional show business while being pursued by Doc Hopper, an evil restaurateur with intentions of employing Kermit as a spokesperson for his frog leg business. The songs were written by Paul Williams and Kenneth Asher. And Paul Williams also did the music for Phantom of the Paradise, which is a film I'm very big fan of. The Muppet Show was created by Jim Henson and a bunch of other people, including Frank Oz. Let's talk about that for a bit.
The Muppet Show?
Yeah, the original Muppet Show.
It's time to meet the Muppets?
At the Muppet Show tonight.
I do really like the Muppet Show. It's a fun show to watch. It's like one of those shows that's aimed at kids, but it's just so genuine that you could just kind of tune into it, and it's just so pure charm, you know?
I don't think it's aimed at kids. I think it's aimed at everyone, but kids are allowed to watch it as well. Like, I don't think it alienates adults, because I liked The Muppet Show mostly because it brought in a bunch of Broadway stars. It would bring in the Ethel Mermans and the Joel Greys of the world to come and sing their Broadway standards.
Yeah. They have all sorts of guests. They didn't really discriminate. They're just like, yeah, you want a guest? Let's go.
Yeah, and that was what made that show so versatile.
They did a lot of music numbers, and there was just so many different characters. And I love the how it's framed, where it's just the Muppets are trying to run this show, and they always are just failing miserably.
And that's almost like how the Muppet movie is, where they're just trying to get through this movie, and it's failing miserably. They whip out the script a few times.
That's basically just the Muppet shtick, is just they can't do anything.
They try really hard, but everything falls apart.
Yeah.
And the best part is that no one, except for maybe Statler and Waldorf, are cynical or mean about it. It's just happenstance fall apart.
Yeah, and I mean, their whole thing is that they just hate the Muppets.
I think we're a Statler and Waldorf sort of show.
You think so? I don't think so. We're too positive all the time.
Yeah, we love La La Land.
We have a lot of positivity here.
Jim Henson is a brilliant man, and the fact that he was able to make a media empire out of these puppeteering characters is remarkable. And the fact that he stuck with them toward pretty much the bitter end is also remarkable as well.
And he did a lot of great stuff, and he did a lot for like practical effects in general, you know, like there's other movies that will use things from Jim Henson, like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, for example.
And of course, Little Shop of Horrors.
That's not really relevant, Jess.
Okay. And I always appreciated his always making sure that there was music involved in everything he did.
Why are there so many songs about rainbows? And what's on the other side? Rainbows are visions, but only illusions. And rainbows have nothing to hide.
So, Rainbow Connection. Let's chat about that song.
I love Rainbow Connection.
I love that it's a song about how God is dead and that Disney is full of shit.
I don't think it's about how God is dead, Jess. I think you're being a little bit too cynical with this one.
I don't.
It's about how he doesn't believe in magic, but he still believes in dreams.
He believes in efforts, basically. Like, what's so amazing that keeps us stargazing? It's like he believes in effort as opposed to just sitting around waiting.
Yeah. But at the same time, he just sits around
and
waits.
He gets off his ass, rides a bike all the way down to Hollywood.
Only because fucking what's his name shows up and tells him to do it.
Tom DeLuise.
Yeah. What is he doing there?
I don't know. I can't help but not think of this song as a direct response to Disney's When You Wish Upon a Star.
I can see that.
Like,
because like Disney's always been just about like, oh, just believe hard enough and stuff will happen.
Right. And this is very much like I know a lot of people get really emotional about Rainbow Connection, but they don't quite listen to the lyrics.
I think it's even more emotional if you do listen to the lyrics, honestly.
It's very cynical lyrics, though.
It's not cynical lyrics, though. The lyrics are about how you can achieve your dreams if you just, like, put enough effort into it.
Yeah, but then it's like, why are we looking at the sky? What do you think's gonna happen?
That's like, you don't know what's gonna happen. You just go for it, you know?
I love the song. I'm not disagreeing. But it's just, like, I left with a different impression than a lot of people.
You're just looking at it in, like, the most negative way possible.
It's very much a way to open a film, I'll say that.
I think that it really sums up the entire feel of the film, and I think it's a great opening song because of that.
And I agree with that. And then Dom DeLuise comes and says that Kermit should go to Hollywood.
And he's right. I mean, Kermit should be. What is he doing in the swamp?
He was looking for his way out of the swamp and to not run into alligators.
Okay, where did Kermit get the banjo?
I just assumed he made it.
It doesn't look like he made it.
Maybe they explained it in Kermit's Swamp Years, the direct-to-DVD prequel, but a thing that actually exists that I have watched.
Jess, did they explain it?
I don't think so.
Okay, well then why are you speculating on this? I know you've seen the movie.
I don't remember it very well, but I know I've seen it.
Okay, so Kermit gets on his bike and he starts riding.
Mm-hmm. And eventually he comes to a seedy bar and runs into a stand-up comedian who is also a bear.
Ah, Waka Waka.
Fozzie Bear, as performed by Frank Oz. And they do a little dance number.
I love the little dance number.
But the thing I love most is Paul Williams of Phantom of the Paradise is playing the piano for their dance number.
Really?
Yeah. He's one of the cameos that really shouldn't be a cameo because it's not like many people know who he is. But I'm like, Paul Williams!
Well, he's there for you, Jess. He's there for probably the audience of our show.
Yeah, and he plays them off, basically, and Kermit does his own stunts, and it's like a fun sequence. And they dance, and you're like, great. Where are the strings?
It's great! It's so great. I love this movie.
And then they get into a Studebaker, and they drive off and sing the most memorable travel song that probably ever will be in existence.
Let's reach out and grab it. Yeah. Together we'll nab it.
We'll hitchhike, bus, or yellow cabin.
Cabin?
Moving right along. Footloose and fancy free.
Getting there is half the fun. Come share it with me. Moving right along.
Okay.
I don't know.
Why don't we talk about
it? It was like when I got to Moving Right Along, I realized I got the same feeling I got when I first watched Les Mis.
Yeah, and what's that?
It felt like a film where none of the main characters could sing.
Why are you saying Les Mis when you should be saying La La Land?
No, because Kermit could actually dance.
Oh, right. I'm just kidding. I actually really like La La Land. It's just, we're going to keep bringing that up because half our audience is from that.
I don't know. Do you think that this film is a romance between Kermit and Fozzie Bear? Not like romantic romance, but like a grow together bromance, basically.
Yeah, but there is also a romance between Kermit and Mrs. Piggy.
Yeah, but I feel like that's nowhere near as developed as Fozzie and Kermit.
I mean, I think there is some development with that, but just not
as much.
Not that much.
Yeah, so then they pick up Gonzo and his chicken wife.
Oh, Gonzo.
I've
never liked Gonzo.
See, I've always loved Gonzo.
I think the reason I've never liked Gonzo is because of a song that comes later in this, where we are subjected to him singing for way too long.
See, I think the first Muppet movie I saw was Muppets from Space, which is literally
I think that's the first one I've seen as well.
All about Gonzo, so I always, like, saw him as, like, surrogate main character.
He's not, though.
He
is really not.
He isn't, and he works much better as a side character, I now know.
He works much better as a character without any songs.
But I don't even like him that much in this movie. I feel like he didn't really do anything funny.
He floated away on some balloons, I think.
That's about it. Like, yeah, he had a chicken wife.
Okay, Gonzo is a character that they should just give to Sesame Street and say, you can have him. And the Muppets, get rid of him. Just take him off our hands, okay?
You see,
that's my opinion.
I love Gonzo, but I just feel like he's not well utilized in this movie.
I mean, I guess, yeah, he's really not used for anything. I think he's just there because they had to have him there.
I think he's much better used in the Muppets in 2011 and Muppets Most Wanted. I feel like they used him much better there. So, let's talk about when they stop at a fair, run into a bunch of cameos, and Kermit meets Eyes with the love of his life.
Never before have two souls joined so freely and so fast. For me, this is the first time and the last. Is this an angel's wish for men? Never before.
Never before.
Frank sang this song like his heart depended on it. They were originally going to have, I think, some big singer come and sing it, like just dub it over as like a pop song. But then they thought Frank Oz's rendition as Miss Piggy was so hilarious that they kept it.
I like this song. I think it's funny.
Right move. I think they made the right move there. It's hilarious.
Oh, I want to skip a few like of the story beats. I want to talk about the next song.
There's no limitation to mixing and matching. Some get an itching for a critter they've been scratching. A skunk was badgered, the results were strong. I hope it's something better. I hope it's something better. I hope that something better comes along.
Where they're on their date. And the date falls through because what happens? Like, Kermit gets kidnapped?
No, Miss Piggy gets kidnapped.
Miss Piggy gets kidnapped. You're right. Miss Piggy gets kidnapped by the villain that we have not mentioned a single time.
We mentioned him in the plot synopsis. We don't need to.
But I fucking love this song.
Between Ralph and
something better.
Kermit?
I love this song so much. I'm no Heifetz, but I get by. But what's your thoughts on this song, Jess?
Indifferent. The best
You're
part is the last line, which is, I've never seen a man so green, had the blue so bad.
Well, the whole thing is like puns and I love it Rolf messes something up and he just is like a oh, sorry about that. I don't know. Oh, I love this song. Okay, this is end of story. Great.
You see, my favorite song is actually the next one.
Grinning like a Cheshire cat. I focus on the pleasure, something I can treasure. Can you picture that? Can you picture that?
Can you picture that? Can you picture that? Only because it sounds like the Fraggle Rock theme.
It does sound like the Fraggle Rock. You're right.
Like,
actually, yeah, you're right.
Anytime I hear it, I'm like, is that the fucking Fraggle Rock theme?
Well, the intro to it is a lot different because, like, Fraggle Rock, you got that, but down, 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 or something like that.
Yeah, but when I hear the can you picture that, I just hear down to Fraggle Rock.
You're right. Those, like, almost identical.
Not to be, like, negative, they ripped themselves off, but it's like, it was just like,
maybe.
Familiarity.
Maybe they hired Electric Mayhem to write the Fraggle Rock theme.
You know what? I'm down for that. That's my new headcanon.
Dr. Teeth in there singing the Fraggle Rock theme.
So that's my favorite song. It's just, it kills. It makes me feel happy when I hear it.
I don't think it has any plot relevance at all.
None. Nothing with the Electric Mayhem really does.
No, they need the van.
Yeah, but they just read the script and showed up. Come on.
Okay. Which is hilarious.
My favorite line in the entire film is when they paint up the Studebaker to look rainbow.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
And there, yeah. Fozzie's like, I don't know how to thank you. And Kermit's like, I don't know why to thank you.
Oh my.
This looks familiar. Vaguely familiar. Almost unreal yet. It's too soon to feel yet. Close to my soul, and yet so far away. I'm going to go back there someday.
Can we talk about Gonzo's song for like half a second, please? And just like,
so they get trapped in the middle of the desert, and Gonzo looks at the sky. And earlier in the film, he had been flying on balloons, and he's like, "I want to go up in the sky again."
Yeah, that's literally the whole thing. That's the entire what the song is about. And it's awful, and I hate it.
I don't hate it, but I can understand why everyone else would hate it, if that makes sense.
Why don't you hate it, Jess? Is it, do you just love Gonzo that much?
I don't know. I just didn't hate the way he sang it.
It's bad. That's all I can say. I hate it.
I don't know. I feel like it's no worse than Moving Right Along in the singing voice department.
I think Moving Right Along has a lot more charm to it, whereas this one just has, like, no charm, no plot relevance, it's poorly sung, it's like, I want it to end and I hate it.
Alright, so then we don't have many songs for the rest of the show.
Well, you got the last song that I like a lot. Mm-hmm.
But first, they meet Orson Welles.
Okay, which is funny.
It's funny because Orson Welles is that peak, like, I can't stop eating.
And he also gives them big movie contract or something like that?
No, it was like the usual rich and famous contract.
Yeah. And I really like the last song.
The last song is charming as fuck. Like,
life's like a movie. Write your own ending. Keep believing. Keep pretending. We've done just what we've set out to do. Thanks to the lovers, the dreamers, and you.
They tried to recreate this final moment in so many of the other Muppet movies, and that they have not succeeded.
I mean, I agree. I feel like it's magic. Like, this is the only time in the film where it, like, feels magical and, like, touches your heart and all that.
Yeah, like, I remember in, like, the new Muppet movie, they had a part where all of them came out and sang Rainbow Connection, but it's just, it just feels like a cash grab or something like that. It's just, it doesn't feel genuine.
Right.
It doesn't feel earned. This is the one time that it feels earned.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Good song.
Jess, how about we bring up something that would be interesting to our audience here? Do you want to talk about the musical structure of this?
Shit, man.
Because we've done that in we did that with some of our other ones.
There's not. This does not have a musical theater structure to it, though. It's very interesting how it does. Very much like La La Land, this is not as much a musical as much as it is a movie with songs.
Yeah. And I think I desperately tried to make that distinction in the La La Land episode.
Desperately.
To no avail. To no avail. So I use this as proof that you can make a really good movie with songs that is not a musical.
But let's be clear that the Muppets' main goal isn't to tell a story. It is to convey jokes in the funniest way possible.
You're right. You're right. It is a different goal.
Which is an entirely different brand. Like, I would, as much as you like to try to convince me that La La Land was not a musical but a movie with songs, it doesn't fit that. It wants to be a musical so badly, where this one just wants to be a movie where you have these animated, so to say, characters that just feel so larger than life that sometimes they have to sing.
I suppose so. I'm just saying that...
Like The Nightmare Before Christmas. That's a great film. It can happen, but it's not a musical.
Magic can happen, Jess. Then why are we talking about it, Jess?
Because it is interesting to talk about.
I like the Muppets.
I love the Muppets. A lot, and I do love the Muppets.
And I like the music.
I think this is...
cut this whole thing. Cut everything.
Cut it all. This episode's trash.
All right, I like this
episode. Put it in the dumpster. Hey, guys. Sorry to interrupt you in the middle of the podcast, but we're here to shill at you. Yay.
That's my favorite thing to do. That's my game.
All right. Please subscribe to us on iTunes and leave us a review. It's our way of getting viewed and getting up there on the new and noteworthy list. We really want that. Also, find us on Spotify, Stitcher, and all the other podcast websites.
Check us out on Twitter at Cheesy Musicals.
On Instagram at Musical Theater Lives.
YouTube, Musical Theater Lives.
And please, if you have any questions, recommendations, thoughts, or just anything that you want to say at us, email us at musicaltheaterlives@gmail.com. We always read them and we will respond. We'll probably respond to them on the show. Also, a reminder that we are currently having a raffle for anyone that is going to leave us a review on iTunes. If you leave a review, you'll be automatically put into a raffle for a $20 Amazon gift card. So if you leave a review, you have a chance to win.
And you're very likely to win because there's barely any reviews. Just letting you know.
Exactly. So thank you for listening, and let's get you back to it.
Let's get you back to it.
Is it weird that I thought that Kermit doesn't sound right in this movie?
He sounds more right than he usually does. He's voiced by his actual actor.
I know, but I'm so used to, like, impersonators of Jim Henson that I'm not used to Jim Henson.
I think Kermit sounds best when he is Jim Henson, though.
Because I think I grew up mostly on Muppets Christmas Carol and Muppets from Space and The Muppets 2011 and Muppets Most Wanted. Then now going back to Jim Henson, it's like,
it's an impersonator!
You feel less animated.
Jim Henson just does a really bad Jim Henson impression, I gotta say.
You just sound like some hippie stoner from the 60s. Who'd like playing with sock puppets.
Alright, let's talk about the cameos. Namely, Steve Martin.
Yeah, let's talk about the cameos and the humor altogether. Before we talk about the cameos, let's just talk about what is your favorite running joke throughout it, because I've got a couple.
Let me hear yours first.
All right. So my favorite running joke, and I had watched this only once when I was really young, and I watched it again like 2 days ago, and I laughed my ass off on the bringing back of the myth joke, if you remember that one from the bar, and then it comes back when he's talking.
Yes.
That's just the myth. Yes. I lost my shit laughing because I didn't expect it.
Oh, there was like that one running joke where they like, there's like, what the fuck was it? They like pronounce some weird thing. No. It's a book and everyone's getting advice from this fucking weird guy and I forget what the fuck his name was. And I always thought that was funny.
But then there's...
It's like a reference to a book.
Then there's a joke that I really didn't feel work, which was the read my lips thing in the very, very opening of the film.
The read your lips thing?
Where it's like... Kermit says, read my lips, and then Dom DeLuise replies, read my lips about something else. And I'm like, that feels cringy.
Hare Krishna.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I want.
I'm looking for, I feel lost. Have you tried Hare Krishna?
And it just keeps showing up all the time.
Yeah, that's a good joke.
I like that joke. I think that was my favorite running
gag. But then there's another running gag that just kind of makes me sad.
Which one was that?
I don't remember the Muppet character's name, but the Jack? Like, that just really wants to go to Hollywood.
Oh, his name is Sweetums.
Yeah, Sweetums. He just wants to go to Hollywood really bad. And then he can't catch up with them.
Guys!
Oh, come on, guys! I just want to go to Hollywood!
I used to think he was the scariest thing in the whole fucking world when I was a little kid.
He's the only Muppet that's, like, human-sized.
He's, like, human-sized, and he actually looks, like, terrifying. There's a ride in Disney World where I used to go to Disney World like every year with my family, and I refused to go into the Muppet thing because there was a walking person, Sweetums, that would come out, and I thought he was the scariest thing in the whole fucking world. So,
you see, I think that this movie isn't as good as the other movies because it's lacking my three favorite Muppet characters.
And which ones are those?
It doesn't have enough Swedish Chef, it doesn't have enough Sam Eagle, and it doesn't have enough Gonzo.
See, Swedish Chef, I think, is someone that only works in small doses, though. And I think that Swedish Chef actually does have some good parts in this one.
He has, like, three lines.
I know, and I think that they're pretty good.
You see, the right use of Swedish Chef is in The Muppets 2011, where they know to give him something funny in the background, but always have him around.
But you don't want to have him in it too much, because he does get kind of annoying.
I disagree. You can never have too much Swedish Chef.
Okay, whatever. I always appreciate at the very end when he says, the flame is okie-dokie.
I'm sure it's offensive to some group, but I find him hilarious.
Look, the Swedes are white. No one cares.
But also, like, there's nowhere near enough Sam Eagle.
Sam Eagle is great. Doesn't he... He doesn't sing the America song, does he?
No, Fozzie does.
Fozzie sings that. That is odd that he doesn't do it.
I mean, I'm sure Ralph fans are really happy that Ralph is in this as much as he is, but...
I love Ralph. I think Ralph is a really great, great character that's underutilized, actually, and I think he is used very well in this one.
I think he is, and I agree he's underutilized in more modern interpretations, like he's really done a disservice in the 2011 Muppets.
He's, like, barely in that.
He's got one of the better jokes, though.
I think he was one of Jim Henson's favorites, and then, no one else cares about him. So I think that's why he's in this more.
That makes sense. Because Jim Henson performs as Ralph.
Yeah, I think he was, like, one of the original Muppets, too.
Or at least one of the original voices.
But I think a piano-playing dog is just... great.
A blues dog, specifically a blues playing piano dog.
Yeah, it's just fantastic. Yeah.
So let's talk about the cameos.
Let's talk about the cameos.
So we brought up in our Little Shop of Horrors video that cameos can distract from a film's narrative. Whereas I feel like in this one it doesn't. It kind of lends to it. Like, yeah, they can be distracting, but they're fun.
I think I said that in Little Shop it was not that distracting to me. I think in this one there is one in particular that is a lot more distracting than it should be. And
which one is that?
Is Steve Martin.
Really?
He's so fucking weird. He shows up in the scene.
He's a Muppet racist. What do you want?
Is he, though? Like, what? I really don't actually know what he was going for. He's like a rude, but not rude, like, waiter that's, like, trying to be fancy, but not. And I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. See, that one's not the one that distracted me the most. Mine was Richard Pryor.
I think I forget what he did.
He gave them the balloons. He's like, I'll have one balloon.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, why don't you take two?
Okay. Yeah.
I'm like, oh, God. The delivery on that is just so strange.
Well, he wanted him to float.
What was the goal?
Definitely, yeah.
I don't have much to say about the Muppets.
I think we said a lot about the Muppets. We've been talking about them for 45 minutes. What did you think of the actual writing of the music and all that?
It's easy. It is easy writing music, like, very much like Disney style before Disney, like, got lazy.
Are you saying you thought it was easy, or you think it's easy listening?
It's easy listening and very simplistic melodies.
Yeah, but I think when you have people singing in voices that are not their own, it works better to do that.
Oh, 100%. I'm not saying it's bad, but I've heard way too many covers of Rainbow Connection for me to not, like, listen to the lyrics very clearly and be like, you know.
Do you think it's too poppy?
You know what? I like the fact that it's poppy. I don't like, most times I do dislike it, like, especially in Greatest Showman, where it's, like, really embraced. But here I think it's effective. I think it is effectively done for the characters that we're telling in this, like, narrative.
And you know what? We haven't spoken about the actual narrative, like, villain and stuff like that.
But the villain is just the mustache twirler.
I like it, though. I think, because he's literally, his job is to kill Kermit's species and feed them to people.
And he just wants Kermit to dance for him.
Do you really think that actually is all he wants, though?
I don't know. He made the advertisement with his face on it.
I feel like after he's done with Kermit, he would kill him and eat his legs.
I don't know.
I like how it's resolved by animal turning giant.
That is I saw this when I was really young, and the one thing I retained from that watch was animal becoming giant.
Every single time I watch this, I'm surprised that that happens.
Really?
And I don't know why. I'm just like, where did that come from? I don't remember that.
I love Beaker and Bunsen Burner, like, so much, so I'm just like, you guys are in this movie, finally!
I don't like Beaker.
What? What's wrong with you? Do you not have a soul?
I don't like Beaker. He's annoying.
Me, 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 me.
Yeah, that's annoying, Jess.
I feel like this is the most unstructured podcast we've ever recorded.
Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me.
Andrew, what is your overall thoughts on the Muppet movie and your cheese rating?
I really like the movie. I love the Muppets. There's some fun music in it. I'd be lying if I'd say I don't listen to the music sometimes just because I want to. My cheese rating? I mean, it's hard not to give something like this like a, you know, like a sharp cheddar or something like that, because it is just that cheesy. It's like a deep cheese. The whole thing.
I'd give it a rich nacho cheese, like fancy nacho cheese, like it drizzles all over it.
Like, the whole thing is just pure cheese, and it's intentional, and it's appreciated, and I love it. Jess, what do you think?
I love this movie, but I don't think it's my favorite Muppet movie. Like, I have a really deep appreciation for the more recent ones, like, especially Muppets Most Wanted, which I feel is criminally underrated.
Do you rate Muppet movies on a different scale than you rate other movies?
That's a weird question.
Like you say it's not your favorite Muppet movie, but, like, are you saying that as in some people say, like, oh, it's not my favorite kids movie, like, kids movies are lower than other movies by default? You know what I mean?
I'm not saying it's lower than other movies by default, but it is a very different genre than anything we've covered previously, is more what I'm saying. Like, as far as Muppet movies go, like, they're kind of a category on their own. Like, there's no other film that has as much specific qualities as a Muppet movie.
I think you're right about that, so I think that that is fair.
Like, I don't think I can have even a fair comparison to, like, even any other films that are equally as comedic. Like, even, like, comedy films like Airplane that are just as goofy don't quite have the same tone and aesthetic feeling as The Muppets.
You're right.
And in a world where Muppets Most Wanted and The Great Muppet Caper and Muppets Christmas Carol still exist, I can't rate this as number one.
Okay. One other question for you, Jess, since... do you think that this should ever be adapted into a stage show?
It would be really hard.
It would be really hard. I agree.
I don't think it would be a practical choice at all.
I think I would love to see it, though.
I don't know. I think I would love to see, like, a concert with the Muppets singing all the songs. I think that would be the best way to do this, where you could have the puppeteers being as cool as they can, singing the songs with the puppets.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think the only way a stage musical ever could have existed is if Jim Henson were still alive.
You're probably right about that.
And since he's dead, that won't ever happen. We're lucky we got the amount of movies we have.
Thanks, Christian Science.
All right.
Thank you guys for listening to our drunken rambles about the Muppets. Make sure to check us out on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher for It's a Musical with Cheese. Hit us up on Twitter at Cheesy Musicals, Instagram, Musical Theater Lives, YouTube, same thing. And hit us up with an email of musicaltheaterlives@gmail.com. And we will, well, Jess will respond to you, and I'll pretend that I did.
Also, be sure to follow our cover art artist, Jolene Casco, at Instagrams, at Jolene Casco. She did an amazing job on our thing, and it looks very nice. Also, we're still running the contest for reviews on iTunes. Thank you guys for listening. I'm Jess.
And I'm Andrew.
And we'll see you next time on Musicals with Cheese.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat, and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suffs has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com.